Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
You know, sitting next to my mom is never dull. We're just having like the peanut gallery over here. I loved it. How many of you enjoyed Women Rock? Woo! Engage was incredible. I believe God showed up. What I'm hearing from all of you, I'm getting my message ready, okay. What I'm hearing from all of you, the testimonies, is that the presence of God was so strong and that you felt that. And I don't know if you know this, but in all of our prayer time, that was like our number one prayer, was that we would have the presence of God. I'm not kidding you. When we were practicing for all the, you know, the dances and the worship and all the filler stuff, when we were doing all that, we had crashes. We had to change the whole entire ending because something happened. I mean, it was just one thing after another, and we just kept saying, honestly, all we need is the presence of God. Like, if none of this happened, all we care about is the presence of God. And so that's, I just want to say thank you for coming and showing up and ready to receive what God had for you, because I know that it's just a launching point, and I've been saying this from the beginning, into what God needs us to do. Look at our country. It's falling apart. I heard a news report last night. I didn't know what was happening in South Carolina. Is it South Carolina? I did not know. And my mom called at 9 o'clock last night and said, turn the news on. You need to see what's happening. And I was just blown away at that evil spirit that is dividing our country and just eating alive humanity. And you know, it's so not of God. And we are a beautiful family at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. And you know what? I heard the news reporter say this, there's no hope. There's just no hope. One side says one thing, the other side says another thing. They can't agree. They just fight and kill each other. There's no hope. And something in my inner man went, oh, there's no hope? His name is Jesus. And until you understand that when we put Jesus into the middle of hell and into the middle of division and into the middle of these situations, there will not be any hope, because he is our answer. He is the rock. He is the only thing that will unite us. He's the only thing that will be our victory. And listen to me, O Church of the Most High God, I believe that we are building ourselves up as a beautiful family, because you know what's going to happen? The world is going to have no hope, and they're going to look at the church, the body of Christ, and go, wait a second, how do all of those races get along? How do all of these different cultures understand each other and talk about the same thing, get each other? How is, I wanna be like that. Why aren't we like that? And you know what it's gonna be? It's gonna be a light to this dark world, and they're gonna want Jesus, because the church will refuse to become what our culture says we are. We are the kingdom of God. We are his body. We are his people. And we will preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so I just want to say that to the girls. Can I say that as your white girl pastor that pastors a multicultural church? I love you guys. And you know what? Let's stay together. Let's stick together. Let's link arms and let's pray for our country. Because you know what? No weapon formed against our country will prosper, because we love God big and we know how big God is. And so he is our hope. He is our salvation. He is our rock. And if you have not heard Vera's message from Sunday morning, maybe you were tired, I get it, but go back and listen to it. She talked about the hope is the anchor of our soul, and he is our hope in these hard times, guys. You're gonna look at the news, turn the news off. Turn it off and hit your knees and get into your war rooms, ladies. And we are his secret weapon. We're the ones that are gonna change and engage our world in a way that only we can, because the enemy knows that you are his pawn. He's going to try and pawn us. He's going to try and put us against each other. He's going to try and divide us. And that's ungodly, and that's not from God. Okay? So we're going to walk in love around here at the Rock Church and in San Bernardino and watch San Bernardino show the rest of the world how to do it. Right? Yeah. Right on. Okay, so many things happened at the conference, and time got away from us. Like, honestly, we were supposed to dismiss at like 5:30, and then it went into like 6, and I'm like panicking, you know, because Becca Shea, she sang and preached, and I didn't know she was going to do that. And so I got up there, I'm like, okay, well, I'm just not going to preach my message because Becca Shea did. So what we're going to do is I'm going to continue on into what I was going to end our conference with. Is that okay for you guys? So I believe God wants us to engage into many things. I believe God wants us to have a lot of drop the mic moments in our life. Yeah. Do you know what that means? How many of you do not understand that phrase, drop the mic? All right, well, listen, President Obama did it on like one of his last speeches. He just dropped that mic and moved on. It means that you have completed your mission. You have dropped the mic. Bam, it's in your face. Yeah. It is done. You've completed your job. And I believe that God had his very own drop the mic moments, but he wants us to have our very own as well. I believe that he has equipped us to do some powerful and engaging things in our world. And sometimes we feel like we're just a mom. We're just somebody who lives in San Bernardino. I'm just. And God says, oh, you're just the perfect person for the job. You're just the right daughter for the job. You're just my daughter, which I created and I formed, and I knew how you were gonna get here, and I cared about you before you were even in your mother's womb. He knew you before then. Isn't that a beautiful picture of Heavenly Father loving his daughter? And I believe God has some amazing things for us. So what if I told you that he wanted you to flourish? Sometimes we think we have to sacrifice so much for the kingdom, which you do. That is a part of being a Christian. We hear about the persecution of Christians. Yes, we will face our persecution. If we are not doing what God asked us to do, because that is when you know you're on the right track serving God, you will be persecuted. But you know, you'll be strong and you'll be capable and you'll be able to keep standing and keep moving in that. But he wants you to flourish. He wants us to flourish. That's kind of a different message for us, right? We look at our country and we think, flourish. We look at our families falling apart and we think, flourish. This is hell. We're divided. We don't even like each other. I'm having a hard time listening to what people say about me because I end up then not liking myself and I become this very insecure person, Pastor Jess. How do you want me to flourish in who I am? And God says, no, you don't get it. That's my plan the whole time. When you were born, I wanted you to flourish because I had already given you all the giftings and the tools and the things that you need to get the job done, to be who you need to be in your world, in your spot, in your place. See, the girl next to you has a different call. The girl in front of you has a different call. The girl beside you has a different plan laid out for her life. You can't look at her and think, oh, I wish I could preach like Pastor Jess. Believe me, I look at Tiva and Erica at the conference and I'm like, I wish I could sing. Like this is, we're gonna have words when I get to heaven. Like, why didn't I not get that gift? You know, you could look at somebody's gifts and talents. I have my sister-in-law. She can do anything she puts her hand to and it's excellent. It's like really not fair. But you know, she told me, it made me feel good about myself. She said, I might be able to do all these things, but you keep a clean house. And I'm like, what? And she goes, that's a gift. She goes, because I don't know how to keep a clean house, but you keep a clean house. And I thought, okay, well, I'm gonna take that. That's a good one for me. I keep a clean house. So you know what? Whatever your gifts are, you can compare yourself and feel bad about yourself, or you can look at the things you do well and choose to flourish in them. Because we can so beat ourselves up, we can so not become what God needs us to be, we can so let life's circumstance push us down, keep us down, and push us out. And God says, no, I need you to flourish. Because when you flourish, beautiful things happen. People start to notice you. People start to, what's going on in their life? I want that. What's happening in their world? How come they're just able to walk through that hard time and just like really make it through? You know, we had a testimony at the Women Rock Conference and it was Marnie Valkersell. Her son was born with congenital heart failure. And she said during this conference, she said, I don't know what happened, but this supernatural faith came over me. I mean, this incredible faith that I did not know where it came from. I didn't know why it was happening. I didn't know what happened. And you know that there's a gift of faith? Did you know that? And God wants to give us those gifts of faith in those hard moments when you're going through tragedy. If you press in, if you lock in, he will be your strength. He will bring faith. He will bring encouragement. You will find joy in the trial because God has asked us to be who we are, and that is to flourish in this world. I believe God has a mission for each and every one of us. We have to choose to want it. We have to choose to want it. You say, well, when I raised my hand and wanted Jesus to come into my heart, I didn't know how to do anything. Well, guess what? You're part of a family. And in a family, everybody has their piece, right? In my family, I am not the only one that does everything. I work, I do a lot of things. So guess what my children do? They work and do a lot of things too. Because mama can't get all the dishes done and all the laundry done if I don't have any help. Yes, I run a slave labor camp called Roth Children. Just kidding. If I have CPS pounding on my door, I'm gonna blame one of you. But the other day, we got home. You know, it had been a nuts week for me. I literally have not been home in probably months. Like, and I started to look around my house and realize, when we're looking for socks for 10 minutes before school, we have an issue here. And so that night, we came home from school on Monday night, and I said to the kids, you're going to help me with this pile that we have shoved in a room and locked the door so nobody could see it, and we are going to fold and put things away. And my youngest son was like, okay, this is so fun. And I was like, yeah. I'm so glad you think so. So we did it all. But you know, everybody had their piece. Chloe was downstairs putting the dishes away. Titus was upstairs helping me with laundry. Micah, I don't know where he was. He kind of disappeared in all of that. Smart kid. And we all have our piece. It's the same for us in the body of Christ. We all have our piece, but we all have one mission. We all have our piece, but we're all working together for the same thing. Just like in my family, we're all working together to have a clean home so that mom can sit and relax and actually enjoy herself, because I don't do well in dirt. So that is why my family cleans, so they can enjoy mom, right? We all have a mission. We all have our spot. We're all going to come together for the same mission. You ready to hear what it is? It's to go and preach the gospel. That's not my job only. That's your job too. Did you know that? In Mark 16:15, it says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes it will be baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Now listen to this. These are some drop the mic promises. Okay, ready? Here we go. They will cast demons out. I'm loving that. In my name, in Jesus' name, they will speak new languages. Do not think you're too old to learn a new language, okay? You are more than conquerors. If you decide I'm going to do it, then I'm going to do this year, we're learning Spanish. Because one day, my goal is to go preach in La Roca without a translator, okay? So that is my goal. My kids are learning Spanish because it's where we live and they need to learn it. And so we are learning things. Listen, girls, if you want to learn a new language, do you know Vera was up here in three languages? She went through Russian, she went through Ukraine, then she spoke English, and now she's learning Spanish because she lives in Miami. So she better learn some Spanish. So they all come up to her and she said they all come up to her, Tracy, and they start speaking Spanish to her because she has that dark complexion. And so she's like, well, I better learn it. So God says we can learn it, right? We're going to speak new languages, and that's spiritual, and that's English and Spanish. So if you're in here and you're speaking Spanish, I'm going to encourage you to go learn some English, because we are smart. We've got this. We can preach the gospel to more people the more we know, right? We're not going to just stay in the world that we live in, but God is asking us to step outside of our world, step outside our comfort zones, learn other cultures, learn what other people need, because then I can go and speak your language and understand your heart. Then you can speak my language and understand my heart, and we can understand each other on a spiritual level, and we can understand each other with the gospel, and it will get into the four corners of the world. So God is asking us and giving us gifts to do these things. So preach the good news. He says that we will cast demons out. We will speak new languages. Verse 18, they will be able to handle snakes with safety. Now, listen, that is not something I'm really excited about. Mom did tell us during the conference, don't talk to snakes. So, but I'll tell you something. I wish I had a picture, Mom, of that snake that went through your house. A long time ago, a rattlesnake went through my mom's house. And we get this frantic call, and this is what I hear on the other end. You guys have to come home. I have a snake trapped with duct tape and somebody needs to come get the snake out of the house. And I'm like, what? Like, these are normal phone calls for me. And she had grabbed this snake that went into her house and she was like, oh no, you are not allowed in my house. And she took duct tape, right? Am I right? And she just started wrapping the duct tape because it was gonna go between a cabinet and a wall. And she did not want that thing in our house because it would hurt us, right? So she started duct taping that snake and it so blew up that she was able to keep it in its spot and the snake could not slither through the wall and the cabinet. And then one of the guys came and got it and we released it into the field. But I'm telling you, no snake will hurt you. You have authority over Satan. He is represented snake. You have authority over those things. So when he comes to knock at your door and put fear in your world, you go, don't you know who you're messing with? Like, I am a daughter of the Most High God, and you should be scared of me. Before this conference started, there were so many bad things that happened. It was almost like a river of bad. Have you ever had those? Like, I literally was like, I cannot go to the hospital anymore. I cannot think about one more sad thing. I have to somehow get myself in a good place because I gotta preach. I gotta host. I gotta host heaven, and right now I'm sad. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you know what? The river of bad has my joy at the end of it because I will always be in the middle of tragedy, and don't you let that snake knock on their door. And every person I went to, it was like God was like giving a word for them, giving a word for them, giving a word for their season, because that snake is going to come and try and slither into your world, slither into your heart. Do not let him, girls. He has no place. And if they drink anything poisonous, hello, pray over your food. This is why we pray over our food, okay? It won't hurt them. They will be able to place, this is my favorite one. They'll be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. It doesn't say maybe they'll be healed. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say anything else, but they will be healed because he is the ultimate healer. He is the one, he's the Alpha, the Omega. He is our healer. And he has left that to us. And then listen to this. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven, sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand, and his disciples went out everywhere and preached. And the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by miraculous signs. Drop the mic moment. I'm done. I'm leaving it to you. He left it to us. It is not his to do, and we're just kind of on the sidelines like, go God, yeah, you're awesome. No, he's going, wake up, girlfriend, I need you. I need you to get over the insecurity and the rejection and the depression. I need you to fight and crawl out of your holes. I need you to step outside your borders. I need you to stop sitting on the sidelines because I need you. And you're called to preach the gospel. Wherever that is, whatever family member needs to hear it, that is what God is asking of us. How do we continue in this then? How do we keep holding on to these things that God has given us? He has so much for us. We're gonna look at three things to hold on to for this mission, because we're on a mission. Number one, we are gonna flourish as we were created. We kind of touched this in the beginning. It's a picture of God. We are a picture of Jesus. So when we choose to flourish, we choose to act like him. When we choose to flourish, we choose to mirror him, not us, but him. When we choose to speak life over something that seems dead, we are all of a sudden showing Jesus. You see, flourishing is in our DNA. We just have to begin doing it. When we flourish, we do find beauty in this journey. Instead of looking at the journey as something horrible and long and treacherous, and I just don't know when this is gonna be over, and God says there's seasons, when's this season over, God? How about we try to find the joy in it? Because God has something on that journey. There's a lesson he needed me to learn or you to learn. There's something on that path that he needs us to stop and flourish in. Jesus loves us so much. He's asking us to speak the truth in love. You see, flourishing doesn't mean you back down and you're just so nicey-nicey that nobody knows anything about what's going on with you. But when you're confronted with something that's ungodly, you can say it beautifully and go, you know, I hear you, I understand what you're saying, but I want you to understand something. God says this, and God tells us clearly in the Word of God that this is the path we're supposed to take. Now, I love you and I'll pray for you, but I'm not gonna join in on your sin or where you're going, but I will be here to help you get out of it, and I will be here to help you walk down a new path, because I've served this God for a very long time and I've seen him be good in hard times and good times. And you be the truth in that situation. Sometimes it's hard to be that. Sometimes you wanna just, oh, I don't wanna offend. I don't wanna say something. I don't wanna be annoying. Listen, speak up. Say what you need to say. Say it in love, but you need to say it because that's flourishing. You have rest in trouble. Did you know you could do that? You could be in chaos and just be like, I'm at peace. You know, yesterday was a big day for us. There was a lot of things coming. I mean, I'm not kidding. Every phone call, every meeting, something was coming one way or another. And I just said at the end of the day to Dan and my mom, I have peace for some reason. Like, none of it is rocking me. Like, I just know God is in it, and I'm just waiting for him to play that out. Because he plays us like a beautiful song, and sometimes we don't understand that note we're on. But listen, it's gonna be completed beautifully, because if we're walking in his path and we can have joy in that time, then we can walk beautifully and we can flourish. That's a beautiful thing, right? And listen to this, we can flourish in prosperity. You know that you can be blessed financially, but you can also be blessed naturally. just in the physical and with family. You know, you are a blessing to people. You be his hands, you be his feet. God, if you are wonderful in your personality, in your kind, and God says to you, here, I'll give you more people to love. And you know what, that's prosperity. If God says, okay, I've asked you to do this and you were obedient in this, and now I'm gonna move you on to something a little greater, a little tougher, but you've got this now, that's prosperity, because he trusts you to grow to a new level. And God's gonna take us to new levels this year. I believe God's asking us to come up a notch and to be greater with who he is in us. And some of you have been feeling this stirring and this, ooh, I don't know what to do, God. And maybe it's God asking you to volunteer. Maybe it's God asking you to step out and be somebody in your neighborhood that isn't there. Maybe there's no one loving people to life in your neighborhood, and he's saying, it's you, girlfriend. Guess what? There's no one else going to be sent, because I've already sent you. You see, maybe you're the one in the family that's just been quiet, but they're all dying around them and they're speaking death over, you know, our situation, and you're in this very negative environment. And you need to be a light in your dark place. It's time for you to get your voice, baby girl. It's time for you to flourish in what it is God has for you, because we are more than conquerors. It means that God will give us rest in those hard times, and God will let the rivers of living water flow out of you, and prosperity will flourish from us. Everything we touch comes to life. Hey guys, back in the back, I don't know if you have the picture of our conference logo on one of the screens. It's the black and white picture that says engage. Sorry, I didn't have it, but I'll start explaining it, see if they do have it. It was our theme. And what I really, when I was praying about it, and it was, you know those adult coloring books? Here we go. It's black and white. And then we had another one with a girl in it, and she was standing there. Did you notice where she was standing, it turned to color? When she shot the arrow turned to color where the arrow was shot, because everything she touches turns to life. Everywhere she walks, it turns to color. Everywhere she goes, it flourishes, and it allows God to just flow through her and out of her into the highways and the byways, guys. That's who you are. That's what God needs you to walk in. That's what God needs you to come up another level and think of yourself that way, because that's what he's asked us to do. In John 7:37, it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. You're not in this alone. He's not asking you to flourish on your own, but he's gonna pour his water on you, and he's going to feed you, and you're going to sprout, and you're gonna become what it is he's asked you to do. If anyone is thirsty, let him drink of me. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You carry the river of living water. Out of your mouth and out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak the oracles of God. You have to get it in you, though, so that you can flourish it out of you, so that you can grow into greater things that God's asked you to go. He's asking us to step out further. He's asking us to do things greater. You know, we should never be able to walk down our city and drive down our city streets and be okay with what we see. It should irk us. It should bother us. The empty buildings and the people laying on the side, incoherent because drugs has so consumed their lives. How about the 12-year-old prostitute on the street being sold because she felt that this was the only life she was ever given? You and I have to tell her this is not the only life that she's been given, but that she is more than a conqueror, that she is, in God's eyes, the most beautiful thing in the whole world, and we have to be his hands and his feet. You are not too young, and you are not too old to do this. So don't give yourself an excuse as to why you can't, because God says, all of you are qualified. All of you are, if you're willing, I will fill you. And rivers of living water will pour out of us as we do so. In this time, and to hold on to what God has given us, I believe God wants us to keep his perspective on things. Number two, let's keep the God perspective on things. Don't get off course. Totally easy to do. You have a bad day, you get frustrated, your flesh wants to rise up, right? Catch yourself. I need to go pray because I'm getting irritated. Go catch yourself. Go pray it off. You have to. I do it all the time. I'm not perfect. Believe me, I live like this. Renewing of our minds. Maybe I don't understand and I'm not seeing it God's way. But you know what I've had to learn in this new position? What, God, do you want? What is your perspective on this situation? Because right now what I'm listening and hearing, it's really irritating to my flesh and to my mind and to my understanding. But I believe that God has a new understanding and he sees things in a bigger dimension. He sees things in full picture. And so I'm only getting a glimpse. So I need to press in and say, oh, Holy Spirit, what is your perspective on this? What is your heart in this? My prayer this morning, there's some things happening. Good things are on the horizon. And I said to God, God, I know you're not gonna drop the whole plan on me today, but I do ask for a piece so that I can take that next step, because I don't want another piece. I don't want to take a step without the next piece. And I don't want to do it without God's perspective. You see, when you're dealing with a complicated person, which all of us have in our lives, we have to keep the God idea of that person, not what that person does to us or how they react to us or how our flesh wants to rise up against them, right? But to keep the God perspective of them changes the whole situation. You can actually walk away from a fight and go, well, I'm not even gonna waste my time because that's not God. And I will not play into that demonic power that's trying to divide. I will not, you see, you could just kind of come off and you just kind of, ooh, Holy Spirit, okay, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to just not say anything right now when I normally do say something. When I'm normally one to be quick back, I'm going to hold my tongue and I'm going to pray. Because prayer, sweetheart, will change everything. Prayer changes everything. Keep God's perspective. I love this quote. It's about David. Get the right perspective. When Goliath comes against the Israelites, the soldiers all thought, he is so big, we can never kill him. But David looked at that same giant and he thought, he's so big, I can't miss him. I love that. Look at your giant the way God does. Look at your circumstance the way God does. Look at those people the way God does. Let's talk about this. 1 Samuel 17, let's go there. 1 Samuel 17. I love David and Goliath. It's one of those stories that I could probably listen to over and over and over again because I need to be reminded that I am more than a conqueror and that God's got this, right? In 1 Samuel 17, 32, it says, "Do not worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." Now that's courage, right? In verse 33, Saul says, "Don't be ridiculous. No way will you fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he has been a man at war since you were in your youth." So he's already discouraging him. He's already telling him all the negatives of why you can't. Because let me tell you something. The world and the devil will secretly and calmly whisper these things to you. Oh, you're not smart enough to do that. Oh, you're not pretty enough to go there. You're not eloquent enough to speak that to that person. You are the wrong person for the job. You don't have what it takes to get that done. The enemy will come and knock at your door and put these little nothings in your ear, and you have to act like David and get the God perspective. And so then David responds, but David persists. I love that. "And I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats." And he said, "And when a lion or a bear comes to steal the lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and I rescue that lamb from its mouth. And if the animal turns on me, I catch it by its jaw and I club it to death." Ooh, I love that. "I have done this to both lion and bears, and I will do it to this pagan Philistine too, far as he has defiled the armies of our living God." Listen to me. That's how you need to feel. You need to say, oh, wait a second here. So your little fights that you've had and these little victories you've had, it's like the lion and the bear because the giant's gonna come. But because you've already had victory with the lion and you've had victory with the bear, you've had victory with the husband and you've had victory with the kids and you've had victory through finances and hard times. You've had victory where walking through a death and a loss. You know what? When something else comes to hit and when it looks bigger than you can contain, you say, oh no, I've already defeated those things. My God has already fought my battle and I can take out Goliath. That's what he's asking. That's what he's asking. I love this. Then Saul says, "All right, go ahead," he said, "and may the Lord be with you." I mean, he can't deny that God's all over this boy, right? And then Saul gave him his armor, and David puts the armor on and says, "This is just not for me. I have to do this the way I do it." Okay, so we're gonna move down. to verse 40. He picked up 5 stones from the stream and he put it into a shepherd's bag. They armed only with 1 shepherd's staff and a sling, and he started across the valley to fight this Philistine. Now listen, he could have never started across this valley without a God perspective. Because if he was in his own ability and in everything that he had just been spoken over, people spoke a lot of things over him. But he said, oh, no, 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 no. Now let's talk for a second. Let's go back to the lion and the bear, okay? He was with his father's sheep. Now, what do you do out there? You're bored when you're with the sheep, right? That just sounds like a really boring job to me. But you know what he did? He sang and he prayed and he became one with Jesus. He became one with God. He totally, intimately knew him. In fact, when they actually laid hands on him and anointed him, guess what he did? He went back with the sheep and he got criticized for that. And for him to go back with the sheep, to me, spoke this. I'm going back to where it comes from. I'm going back to my source. I'm going back to what I know is going to sustain me in this new anointing. I'm going to do what it is that I've only known to do, and that's to be with God and to see things in a God perspective. You see, David had a revelation of God's perspective so he could walk confidently across that. Verse 41, Goliath walked out towards David with his shield bearer ahead of him. I love this. Sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog? What does it say? Am I a dog that he roared at David that you come to me with a stick? I mean, David's probably like, really? You're just making me really want to kill you more. You know, I mean, has the enemy ever poked at you enough and you're like, you're really making me mad. You're going to get it worse. Keep going. And he cursed David by the name of his gods. Come over here and I'll give you flesh of the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. So he has this whole big guy telling him that he's gonna die. What have you been told? What is the enemy whispering to you? What is the world screaming at you? What is our culture telling us is okay, but it's not okay according to God? Because we have to get the God perspective about things in life. What does God say? Can I get real with you girls? What does he say about racism? He says we are all created equal. He says that he loves us all the same and that we are his one family, the body of Christ. That's what God says. So when you hear otherwise, you stay in your lane and you stay in God's kingdom. Okay, so my sexual identity, I'm confused about it. I don't know where it's at. I'm feeling these feelings. I don't understand them. I feel like the church doesn't like me. God rejects me, everything. Listen to me. What does God say about you? God says that he formed you in your mother's womb, that he knew every hair on your head, and that he created you male or female. So you need to identify with what God says about you, not what your feelings tell you, not what your culture around you says is okay. You're gonna have to fight those things, baby girl. Okay, just like I wanted to have sex before marriage with all the boyfriends, I had to fight those urges. When me and Dan dated, I had to say, no, go home, goodbye. You see, it's just, you have to tell yourself no. Because I'm not going to act out what I feel, because I have to keep God's perspective about my mind and about my body and about my life. He's not rejecting you in that. He's saying, I'm calling you to come up in it and mature out of it. Because what the enemy has put on you and told you is normal and it's how you are and what it is that you are supposed to be, God says that is never what I placed on you. That is never who I created you. I know how I created you, daughter. And the closer you get with him, guess what? You'll find out who you really are. So stop trying to make everyone happy in your world and get close to Jesus, just as David did. He had to go be back with the sheep because Saul wasn't gonna meet his needs and the pats on the backs weren't going to fulfill him, and him becoming this anointed king was not what he even asked for. What he asked for was to be in the presence of God and to do what God's asked him to do. Listen, our lives and our culture cannot be louder than our God. They can't. We have to take our ground and we have to see life through God's perspective, and it will not be popular. It will not. And people will not understand why you are the way you are. They won't understand why you
are not acting out on the feelings you're feeling, guess what? A lot of us don't act out on the feelings we're feeling. It's called self-control. It's called dying to the flesh. It's called, this is what God is asking of all humanity. But they're lazy, and they don't want to work hard at anything, and they don't want to put their flesh under, and God is saying, I need you to do that. I need you to get the God perspective so you can flourish, so you can be what I've asked you to be, so you can walk in your lane, so you can preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, and guess what? And they'll listen to you because you've been more than a conqueror. They'll listen to you. David replied to this Philistine. I love his reply. When the enemy comes at you, wants to remind you of what he thinks you are. This is what David replied. You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you, and I will cut off your head, and then I will give your dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. Listen to me, girls. Not with sword and spear. Not with gun violence. Not with, you know, killing each other, however the world is doing it right now. Oh, but the words of our mouth and our prayers and the spirit, we fight spirit with spirit. Okay? And they assembled, and he said, but not with the sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. David knew who his God was. He did not look at the culture around him. He did not look at what the world told him he was and what was easy to identify with. He could have easily said, that's right, I'm just a shepherd boy. You're right. I'm just, you know what, I'm really, you shouldn't anoint me because I'm not good enough. Just some like little scrawny kid like in the fields. No, you're right. You know, that's good. But no, he said, all right, well, if this is what God wants, then I'm in. And girls, we need to be in. God says, I need you in. I need you on board. I need you ready to go. I need you to engage. I need you to prepare. I need you to see things through my eyes, not your perspective, not your ways, but get into your word, find out what I say and stand on it. It won't be popular. It won't be easy, but you'll flourish in it. It won't be popular, it won't be easy, but you will flourish in it. Good. Number three, keep engaging the world for Jesus. Don't stop, keep going. Don't back down, don't quit. Don't allow yourself to get so weary that you can't get yourself back up. Keep going. If you have bad days and bad moments, have a good cry, have your moment, but get yourself back up the next day and shake it off. You know, I preached that message where the mule had to come up out of that well and he had to step it up and shake it off, step it up and shake it off. You know what? You step it up, baby girl, and you shake off the world and you keep going. You do what God's asked you to do. You do what God is requiring of us. We all have a part in this. Keep engaging our world. Keep engaging your world and raising your children. Don't disconnect because you don't understand. Don't disengage because they're irritating to you and they're annoying. You know I can get an amen on that one. Especially if they're teenagers. They think they know it all, but I promise, in their 20s, they will come back and say, I knew nothing and you're awesome. Okay, so just give it time, mama, give it time. They'll be back. And you know what? Keep engaging them. Keep teaching them. Keep showing them. When they have breakdowns and they don't know what to do, help them walk through the breakdown. If you don't teach them how to walk through those moments in life, they're not going to know how. And they're going to be like, well, we taught them. Well, did you? Did you actually stop and take some time and go, listen, your attitude right now is not okay. My daughter woke up this morning, probably hormonal. I don't know what was going on, but like no shirt worked out. I mean, we've all lived there, right? No shirt fit right, no shorts worked out, her hair was bugging her, her brothers were not allowed to speak to her. And I was just like, okay, we cannot keep living like this morning, like, I refuse. So I pulled her aside and I said, have you prayed today? She's like, no, and I don't want to. And I go, I get it. So then I'm gonna pray for you, and then we're gonna read the word together. And she read David and Goliath on her own. I didn't even tell her to. And then we said this, ha, 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 do it with me, ha, ha, ha. Ha. Ho, 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 he, 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 Ha ha ha. Ho ho ho. He he. She started gut laughing after that, and she was like, okay, I'm better now. You see, I had to walk her through, you're not going to stay in this. We got to get out of this, because this will ruin your day. You know, when your kids are having a hard time, my son came home, he failed a test the other day, and he hated himself. And I brought me right back to Mrs. Poland's class in eighth grade, where I studied my butt off for weeks. You remember her, Mom? I'm going to write a letter. And I studied so hard, like so stinking hard, and I got a D. And she was so mean about it, that lady was so mean about it. And it brought me back. And Micah was in that broken moment. And I was able to share that story with him and say, listen, the counselor told me I was too stupid to even go to university. Like, Micah, people are going to say dumb things about you. But look at what God has done with Mommy. I wasn't smart enough to be a preacher. I wasn't the most qualified. I was just someone willing. And you know what? God has a call for your lives and your kids' lives. And Mama, be there. Listen to their cry. Listen to their moans. Listen to their complaints. And think about, how can I turn this around for them? How can I give them a God perspective on this life issue? That is engaging your world every day. That is going after Jesus and doing it big. Listen, loving your husbands. You're like, man, I was hoping you weren't going to say that one. Men are complicated. They say we're complicated, but they're just so uncomplicated that I don't get them. Yeah. So, honestly, many times I'm like, this doesn't bug you? It doesn't bug you? No. Why am I not more like you? I mean, seriously, men are just very unique in their own ways. But God made them that way. So instead of us nitpicking the negatives, let's try and ask God for the God perspective of it. Okay, God, what is it in him that I'm not getting that does irk me, but is good because he's a man and he needs to do it that way? When Micah was acting a fool the other day, I wanted to coddle him and be mommy. And Dan was like, back up. You will not act like this, son. And this is how this is going to go down. And I was like, what? You need to be, he's being tender. He needs tenderness right now. And Dan's like, no, he doesn't. He needs to suck it up and be a man. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, okay. And I went off to the side, and Micah did get hurt by that. But Dan went back later and said, I'm not going to baby you, son, because this is a tough world, and you have a father who loves you, and I'm gonna teach you how to be tough in your hard times when you don't feel good about yourself. They hugged, they made up, they cried together. It was a beautiful moment. And I thought, well, that's not my approach, but okay. That's what he needed, apparently. You see, we have to learn how to love our husbands for the strengths that they do have, because we can easily point out all the negatives. So choose to point out the good, okay? Because the enemy will always show us the negatives of ourselves and the other people in our world, okay? Also, being the best employee on the job. Ooh, but my boss, you do not know how my boss is, Pastor. She's a horrible person. She talks bad about this church. Well, guess what? Then she's going to be the first one saved, huh? That's right. Then she really needs Jesus, and we need to work a little harder at loving her back to life, because she's going to hell in a handbasket. Okay? So you are the one on a mission. I had many bad bosses. I had, like, I think I counted one time, like, 9 jobs before the age of 20 or something like that. Like, I loved to work. Like, I worked out of high school. I had 2 jobs, like, in my senior year, just constantly. I always had 2 jobs. I loved working. I don't know why. I just did. And every boss that I had was so unique in themselves. I had a boss who walked me through a very hard time in life but was tough on me. I had a boss that was totally absent, and I was the boss, but they got the paycheck, so I was kind of irritated about that. You know, I had the gay boss who was totally flaming gay, told me things I was like, I'm not okay listening to that. Thank you very much. Please don't talk about that in my presence, but I love you. And we ended up just almost getting that guy saved. I believe that somebody else is going to come and reap that harvest. And I had so many bosses. I had this boss at Liz Claiborne, and I'm telling you, that woman was hard to get along with. She was unhappy every single day. There was not a good day for her. And so I just remember going, I'm going to just be nice to her, because if I'm rude back, then it's just going to be 2 rude people being rude. And so I'm just going to be nice to her. And she actually always liked me, and I got raises all the time. And kindness goes a long way. And so that's preaching Jesus into your boss. That's preaching Jesus on the job. To choose God perspective in that moment, you're preaching Jesus. Listen, people need to know him, but they're not going to always know him by you preaching at them. That's not what this is saying. It's you living your life and flourishing in it. They're going to be like, I want that. I want the beauty of that. Check this out in 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses, I love this, the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Do you know that you diffuse his fragrance? You are just like a walking, beautiful testimony of God. I love that. For we are God's fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one who has the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. He who is sufficient for these things. For we are not as many peddling the word of God. We're not just selling the word of God like a pamphlet. Okay, you need him, you know, and being a salesperson. That's not what we're doing. But we are sincerely, we are in sincerity, and we are in our conviction of who he is, ladies. But from that, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. We speak his name. We preach his gospel. We show the love of Jesus to a lost and a dying world. That's what we do. The other day after the conference, I wanted to tell you guys this story, and then I have a cool video to show you. But after the conference, maybe I don't need to show the video. After the conference, I was very tired. I mean, hosting is a whole nother thing than preaching. So it was preaching, hosting, carrying the whole thing. I had never been so tired in my whole life. Like, I want to say on Monday, I literally did not move off the couch. And when my children talked to me, I was like, Mom, can we have this? I don't care. Eat whatever you want. Ice cream all day. I don't care. Like, do whatever you want. And I just remember, we went and we had dinner with Vera and Denisa. Now remember, Vera's Ukrainian, okay, and her husband. And Denisa is from the Dominican. And so they both have beautiful accents. And then there was all us white people, you know, like me and Luke and Dan and my kids. And we're at Mimi's and we're just hanging out. We're laughing. I mean, they are hilarious. When you come off of something like that, you almost just like have this like funky energy, like you just want to mess around because you've been so serious and under all this pressure for so long. Everybody kind of let loose. We were all tired, but everybody let loose. And they said, we don't want to eat, we don't want to eat. But you should have seen that table. I've never seen somebody eat so much in my life. It was ridiculous. They just were like, oh, what's on the menu? Let's try that. Let's try that. I'm like, seriously right now? So we were messing around and we were joking that it was Luke's birthday, right? Even though it wasn't Luke's birthday. And all, we were like, yeah, Luke, it's your birthday. Like we were messing around with him. This lady, our waitress, thought it was Luke's birthday and she kept bringing him stuff. We did not understand why. And we're like, why is she only giving you things? Like he got this big plate of bread. He got this like cake. He got this like specialty coffee. And he's like, I didn't even order any of this. This lady's so nice. And her name was Teresa. She was seriously an overly nice person. Have you ever met them? Sometimes you want to slap them, but they're really good people. You should like them. So like, she was overly nice, right? And all night I'm going to Dan. She has to be a Christian. She has to be a Christian. Do you think she goes to our church and that's why she's being so nice to us? And I'm like, I don't want to sound stupid. Like, I don't know if she doesn't go to my church. And Dan's like, no, I don't think she does, but she's really nice. So finally we were like, hey, Teresa, are you a Christian? And she goes, yes. And I mean, that's how she was. She's like, yes. And she was all like, this is what she said to me. I wish I should have sent it to the video department. Take a picture of me and tell people that I love Jesus. And I went, all right, like I'm totally gonna do it. Like, I have a picture of Teresa on my phone. And then afterwards, she realized we were all ministers. She's like, will you pray for my daughter? We all gathered around, prayed for her daughter. We started laughing. We started talking about life. After that, the busboys were cleaning up. The manager came over. We invited him to church. Every person out of the kitchen came out. And we were like, you're coming to church. You need to get into the house of God. It was like a Pentecostal Mimi's experience, you know, like. And on our way out, I went to say goodbye to Vera, and she goes, that was the best compliment I ever got. And I go, what are you talking about? And she goes, didn't you hear him? And I go, who? And she goes, the guy in the front. She goes, he was at the bar all night, but he said to me, are you guys family? And I go, he did? And she goes, yeah, but I told him, we're obviously not blood, but we are family. And he goes, really? And she goes, yeah, through Jesus Christ. And he goes, wow. I want to have a family like that. And she goes, well, then you need to get into church and find out who God is. He goes, I'm going to be there. And we gave him a card. And she gave him a card or one of her brochures that she had taken from our, I mean, seriously, that is preaching the gospel. Yes. Yes. That is being a light. You know, you have opportunity everywhere you go. Do you mind if I take a moment? Because I do have some time. I want to show you this video. In BC, this could make you mad, but we're going to stay in God's perspective. Anybody during the Olympics that gave God the glory, they allowed it to be shown live, but they would not put it on YouTube. So they wouldn't put that end recap on YouTube. And so we went through many things to try and find it, but we found this clip of these Olympian divers, and they're American, they won, and they were like the number one Olympian team. So let's take a look at what they do for Jesus.
And Ted, they accomplished everything they set out to do tonight, not just making the Olympic team, but putting together a complete set. And now, Steele Johnson, you are going to the Olympics. We see the emotion. Describe what's going through your mind.
I've been working for this dream for a long time, and it's honestly, I never thought like the day would come, and I feel like I just blinked. Now I'm on the 2016 Olympic team, but it's cool because this is exciting, this is fun, but like this is not where my identity is gonna be in the rest of my life. Yeah, I'm Steele Johnson, the Olympian, but at the same time, I'm here to love and serve Christ. My identity is rooted in Christ and not in the flips we're doing, but it's all here and it's, I wasn't ready for it.
Well, and for your partner, David Vodaya, Beijing, London, and now Rio, what has this journey meant to you?
Right before I was going up for this last dive, emotions kind of poured in, and it wasn't like the first two teams that I made. I think because this guy has just come a long way. We can't take credit for this. God be the glory, and this is why we do what we do day in and day out, and this is a special moment. Steele made his first Olympic team. I made my third Olympics, but we're just so thankful, and there's so many sacrifices that have been made by our coaches and my wife and family and my parents, just so many, but nothing compares to the sacrifice that we've had in eternity. So we're just thankful for this moment, and we're going to enjoy it.
Wow. So that was the clip that they did allow, but the other one you can't see because it's like somebody recording it off their phone, off the TV, because they won't release it. But they won the Olympics. They got the gold, the two of them, and they were singing Jesus from the mountaintops. And you could tell the lady interviewing them was like, what? Like, I don't know what to do with what you're saying right now. But you know, that's who we are. They are our brothers in Christ. And you know what? Heaven is going to be full of beautiful people with the beautiful calls and missions. And you know, people come and people go on this earth, but we all get to live in eternity together forever. And so God has a plan for us. And I want you girls to, if you got anything, just remember to keep God's perspective so you can flourish, so you could do what God's asked you to do. Keep engaging your world for Jesus, because that's what God's asked of us. Maybe you're sitting in this room today and you're going, Pastor Jess, I really want to know this God you guys have been talking about. I'm so compelled to be closer to him and to know him deeply. Listen, he loves you. He died on a cross for you. Every sin, every feeling, every issue is not too big for him. That's why he went to the cross, so that those can be washed away and you could be brand new in him. You say, how do I do that? It's very simple. You just ask Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life. And when you do that, he does. He's such a gentleman. He waits for us to invite him. And when he comes in, we become new creations in Christ, and we leave that old man behind and we press forward into the new daughter that God has created us to be. And we walk in our true purpose and our true path that he always created us for. Okay, so this is what we're going to do, because we only just have a few more minutes left. And I want to pray us out. So Pastor Deborah, will you pray us out today? And so girls, this is what we're going to do. Can you link arms with each other? Come over here. Come. Pray us out. Yes. Okay, me pray you out. Okay. Link arms across the aisles. Link arms. Boy, I'm just really asking a lot of you today, huh? hands or arms, hands or arms, whatever you're comfortable with. Link arms, get in the aisles, girls, move in, move in. Come on, move in the back. Yes, I see you, move in. Don't start disobedient, move all the way over. I'm looking at you, come on, move over, move over. Sometimes it's gonna take some hard work to begin in prayer. It is, because the world is gonna try and distract you and you're gonna forget that you needed to pray, okay? And we're gonna pray together and we're gonna link arms, and this is what I'm gonna ask, because we're gonna engage our world. Our country's falling apart. This is evil, okay? And we have something to bring. And so let's pray for the Christians in our country, okay? Can we pray for that? That we as a body of Christ will have a boldness to speak the truth in love, but also bring love to a broken world, okay? Can you guys link up with me on that? All right, dear Father God, we lift up our country right now. Lord, we stand in the gap for the United States of America. And God, we are on the cuff of elections. God, there has been racial death happening, God. There has been just unnecessary things happening. And Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we break every assignment that the devil has on our country. And God, we ask right now that the power of God would flow through every country, every city, every state, every law enforcement, every person walking down a street or in a car. Lord, we ask for the hedge of protection upon them. In the name of Jesus, that there would be no more senseless violence. Lord, we pray that people would not kill each other and would not diminish their lives, Lord. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus for unity as a body of Christ, Lord. I pray that, God, that we will not see color, but God, we will see you. And Jesus, that you would speak to our hearts as a Christian body of Christ. And Lord, that we would stand bold and that we would shine your light and we would speak love to a hurting and broken world, Lord. Lord, we pray for those that have lost loved ones, God, in the past few days, and God, even before this. God, we pray for their hearts right now, God. We pray that you would comfort those mothers, God. Lord, that you would comfort those aunties and uncles, oh, Holy Spirit, and brothers and sisters. God, we pray that anger would not arise, but God, that your presence would be made known. Lord, that they would tap into you, and Lord, that you would send laborers across their path to speak truth in this very broken time. And Lord, we pray right now in the name of Jesus over this election, God. We have no idea what's going on, but God, you do. And so Lord, we ask that whoever it is that you would anoint, God, I know that you can work through a donkey. God, you can work through whatever it is you need to do to get your job done. And so Lord, we ask for mercy on our country right now. Lord, we ask, God, there's more than 10 of us. So God, we ask that you would just move and do what you need to do. And God, that you would stir the hearts of the people. Lord, that you would lead us to vote the way we need to vote. God, that you would show and shine a light on what is of you and what is your will and what is your way. And Lord, we thank you for unity in the body of Christ. Lord, I thank you for our sisters on the right. I thank you for our sisters on the left. I thank you for the sister behind us and in front of us. God, I ask that you pour out a blessing on their family, on their children, on their husbands, on their finances, on their homes. God, we pray that no weapon formed against them will prosper. Lord, we thank you for unity in the body of Christ. And Lord, that there would be a love that shines so bright, Jesus, that people will come to you in droves. Lord, they'll flock to the house of God because, God, they know that you're the only source of life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We love you guys. Love you. Give each other a hug. We'll see you this weekend in church. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.